Let's go to John 15. Years ago, I had a vision. I've shared this over the years, but I was actually in my church, and I was preaching about abiding and staying within Christ. And I showed an example. Literally, I took my arm, and I pulled it from off my body, and I put it without, and it withered right before me. And then I took the arm and I put it back and it was healed. Interesting, huh? We there, John 15? 15, just go to 15. We'll go to right to the beginning, verse 1. Sorry, should have clarified that. I am the true vine. Let me read you guys something. This is interesting. You ever look at the strong sometimes? True. This is what just the strong says, okay? That which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature, corresponding to the name in every respect, corresponding to the idea signified by the name, it's the real, the true, and the genuine, Brad. That's interesting, huh? It's the opposite of everything that is false. Because it's the true. John 5 said, now that Jesus Christ has come, Daryl, we have a true understanding. We have the true. What does that mean? Does it mean that in my world, in my church, I once walked in that which was not true? Oh, yeah, man. Did it become Antichrist? Is that what it became? Why is that? Because I'll tell you why. When you leave your first love, when you take your eyes off of the Father and you do not abide within His Word and let the Spirit of God bring it to an understanding, what happens to it, Tim? It becomes the thing that is opposite of the true. It creates in you that which is not of God and not what was intended. So what did the Lord tell His disciples here? He said, I am the true. If there's any question mark, I am the true. I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. Follow me. I'll lead you. I guide. This is why John said in his gospel, actually in one of his epistles to his church, the church within him. I'm talking about the church within the apostle. He said, when you have the anointing, when you have the truth, the Spirit of truth, the true, it'll lead you and guide you into what? Into all truth. It'll show you all that is true. What do you think the revelation of Jesus Christ does within a man, within a woman, within a person? What do you think it does? Does it not show you two things? Just keeping it simple. Does it not show you the true and that which is not true? Does it not reveal Jesus Christ? And at the same time reveal what? Satan, the devil, the man of sin, the thing that is opposite, the thing that is anti everything that is Christ. Is that the will of God? Does God want to show us that which is true? Does He want us to be part of the body of Christ so that we can have an understanding, a true understanding, and not something in our own thoughts that persuades and convinces us that a thing is true, but it may not be? I remember prayers that the Spirit of God in me rose up and said, God, I want to know the truth. And if there be anything in me, Daryl, anything unclean, anything of a lie, reveal it. Is God doing that? Woo, man, is He doing that? When God begins to show you things that have been in you that were not true, is it by a vengeful spirit? Is it by a spirit of destruction? Or is it by love and grace and mercy that the Spirit of God is speaking to us and showing us, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. let's read a little bit because I want to get into some stuff here. So he says, I am this true vine. I am the true. Want to start with that this morning, let you know. Jesus is the true. There is no other. That is something that each and every single one of us have to settle within our hearts. This work is something that God does within each and every one of us, every man in his own order. And all of us have to come to that revelation that Jesus Christ is the true. Not us, not a man, not some woman, not any person. There's only one person in whom God has infilled himself. He has poured himself into the person of Jesus Christ. He is the express image of the very person of God. He's the face of God, Daryl. He's the body of God. He's all of God incarnate. He's everything God is as a person, as an image. And I'm going to tell you, man, to be in him, that's the will of God. That's the desire of the Lord this morning, is that we be found, Paul said, in him. That's why Paul said, I do not live my life by my faith. I live the life of Christ now by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, I am no longer in myself. I am in him. I was lost in me, but I have been found in him. Let's keep reading here. Let's go to verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He cleanses it. Did you hear that? So if you're not bearing fruit, it's taken away. If you bear fruit, he's going to purge you. He's going to cleanse you. Think about that for a second. Have you ever looked introspect and said, why am I not getting this? Why am I not understanding this, Michelle? What's going on here? Why am I not comprehending these things that are spoken? Is that a thought that's within the body of Christ, or is that a thought that's without the body of Christ? It's without, huh, Deb? Have you looked at how many times your thoughts have been without? Have you ever looked at that? I have. Every branch that bears fruit, he takes it away. The branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. So what's the desire of the Lord here? To bear fruit? To be fruitful? To be a fruitful vine? To be a branch that brings forth? Like Psalms 1, to be a tree that's planted by the living waters? By the river that brings forth fruit in its season? Do you want to be a fruitful tree? How many want to be a fruitful tree? I remember talking years ago with Rick, and I've shared this before. And a lot of times I was doing the talking. I was doing most of the talking when it started. And my perception, Brad, was always without. I wasn't talking to him about things within the body. I was talking to him about things that are without. Weaknesses, thoughts of condemnation, fear, doubt, unbelief. All those question marks. Why was he so silent? Why did he not commune with me on those things, Tim? Why do you think?
Because he knew the true by prophecy.
He knew the true by prophecy, Tim said. Very good. So what was he waiting on? The true? Was he waiting on the true in me to spring forth? Did not Peter say you gotta wait until the day star rises in your heart? We're going to give you hope until that time. But what are we looking for? We're looking for the true, are we not? So when he did speak to me, what did he sow, Brad? You should know because he's done the same thing to you. Did he sow the truth? So is it possible to sow the truth of God and not commune or fellowship with that which is without, the thing that is not true? Is it possible to sit by prophecy and understand that there's a word of God present, but also at that table, at that time, there's a lot of enemies that are not of true, they're of Antichrist? But yet, be sent by a mission, be sent by the Holy Ghost to sow to that word in the midst of all those enemies and be patient and wait until the Lord brings it forth? What is that? What is that work? What is that apostle? What is that prophet doing when that takes place right there? When he can sow into darkness, but not chase that darkness to try to redeem or regenerate it, but yet wait patiently on the Spirit of the Lord to bring that word forth. What is that? Is that abiding? Otherwise, you'd have to go out, wouldn't you? You'd have to go out. So is the key going out to try to save the thing, or is the key to stay in the body of Christ? Is that the key? Didn't he tell his disciples, now you're clean? I think it's down here later in this chapter. Let's keep going. There it is. Verse 3. Now you're clean. Let's just stop right there for a second. Remember those thoughts I talked about? Those thoughts that sometimes they talk to you, the back of your mind, the back of your consciousness, and they talk to you about what? You're not worthy. You're not clean. You're dirty. You're filthy. You have fears. You have all these different things. And I'm not talking about fears of this life. Great, wonderful word Thursday night about discerning between the differences among the fears. I mean, I'm not jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, because in my flesh, that's a fear, right? Not going to happen. You would have to push me, and it'd probably take a good 2 or 3 men to get me out of that plane. And I'm probably going to break some fingers on the way out, trying to hang on. That's just the reality of it. Put someone underwater and hold them underwater where they can't breathe. See what happens. You're going to have bubbles coming up, right? Because you're trying to catch your breath. Your physical body does not want to drown. And it might be a fear in you for that to take place, right? I know people that won't go near a swimming pool. I'm not talking about those fears. I'm talking about a fear like, am I going to make this? Am I going to make this trip? Is that abiding, guys, or is that a thought trying to pull you out and keep you out of the focus in what God has said? Wants to keep you out, doesn't it, Deb? Actually, it already pulled you out. That's why you're here, right? Now the Spirit of the Lord wants to bring you what? Wants to bring you back to that abiding place. That's the will of God for every one of us. So he said, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So when God sows this word and he speaks into this temple, into this church, into this world right here, does he know that he's speaking a word of truth into the thing that is dark and does not understand? I've preached this before. What happened when the Spirit of the Lord moved upon those waters? Did it agitate some things? Do you ever get agitated when the Word of God comes forth? What do you think, Brad? What's that? Oh. You ever been agitated? Oh, man. I remember early on getting so agitated sometimes, man, the word that was spoken. And I was like, my God, why did he say that to me? And get so offended, Tim, so offended and so angry and so mad. Was that something unclean in me? Was that an unclean spirit? What was wrong with what was said? Was it the Word of God? In Matthew 13, when he sowed the Word of God, who sowed it? The Son of God? When the Son of God sowed the Word of God, was there something wrong with that word sown? What was wrong? Something with the ground? Is something wrong with the hearing, Deb said? Perception? Absolutely. Was it something in your spirit that was unclean? You say, but I'm a Christian. How can that be? I got news for you. Christian or not, your spirit in you, when the Word of God first comes, it's going to make manifest that which is in darkness. It's going to manifest it for what reason, Tim? So he can cleanse you reveal it to you so that you can overcome it. Be removed from the thing that is unclean into the thing that is what? Holy. Remember when I told you about the priest in, I believe it was in Leviticus. The Spirit of the Lord was so holy, he told his priest, the thing that is dead, you cannot touch it. If you touch it, you will be defiled and you will have to be removed from the camp. You don't want to be removed from the camp, do you? Have you read Revelations lately? I believe it's in chapter 21. Talks about everything that's outside of the city. What's outside the city? Dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, those that are fearful. They believe a lie. They love everything that makes lies. See, before God's word can complete the thing, the work in us that cleanses us from this thing that is opposite to the true, God has to reveal to us the thing that is unclean. The thing we've handled, the thing we've thought, the thing we've worked in, the thing our spirit has been attached to, has went after. Because if you never see the thing you went after and the work of uncleanness that was in your own heart, you'll never be clean. You'll never be free. You'll never know the true, Daryl. You never will. This is why David said, Lord, if there be any sin in me, show it to me. Anything unclean. Anything at all. And renew in me a what? A right spirit. If you got a prayer for a right spirit, that means you've got presently a what? A wrong spirit. You say, you're scaring me. You're freaking me out. Nope, don't be doing that now. Because every son of God's going to come this way. You think if these apostles of Jesus Christ had to come this way, that you're going to get off the hook and come another way? What do you think? You've been called, haven't you? Called, chosen, faithful. You're chosen where? In the furnace of affliction. I'm going to tell you right now, that affliction is not what you think. God's not a tormentor. You know what is a tormentor? Fear. The spirit of Satan that torments you by fear. When he tells you you're not worthy, you're not going to make it. Here's the catch, guys. If something in your spirit is unclean, it's because he's at work anyway. So we're not going to believe anything he says, even though we have. We've already believed it. That's why Christ comes. That's why Jesus looks at these disciples and says, now you're clean. Meaning you were unclean before, but that's why I came. That's why I'm here. That's why the work of Jesus Christ is in this world right now, because it's going after the thing that belongs to him. Read it all the way through 15 and all the way through 17. He tells you, these apostles, these guys, they were mine from the beginning because the Father gave them to me. And I've come into the world. I'm not of the world, but I've come into the world to gather them. But I'm not taking them out of the world. I'm going to leave them in the world because they're going to speak everything I've sown to them. But now, because they're clean, they're going to be able to. And that's the catch. Have you ever tried to fight Satan in the mind of Satan? What do you think? You can't overcome uncleanness by unclean thinking, can you, Daryl? Not possible. If Satan's house be divided, what's going to happen? It's going to be a great fall there. What's got to take place for you to overcome those things of uncleanness, those things that are not in faith? You got to have a clean word. You got to have a true word. And I'm going to testify to you this morning, we have received a clean word, a word of cleansing, a word of baptism. In other words, I'm telling you that there has been enough words spoken to baptize your spirit into the body of Christ, into that apostle. Because once you're baptized into that body, now the Spirit of God can teach you. Now he can even reprove you if need be. He can instruct you, guide you, lead you. And that's what God's got to do. But if you're constantly trying to go without to get an understanding, you're trying to go out to comprehend, you're trying to go out to chase after, what have you done? Have you left the abiding place? And the abiding place is back here in God. It's back in Christ. So you got to abide in Christ. That means to come into the consciousness, the mind of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody say, the mind of Christ is not my mind. What, some of you didn't want to confess that? The mind of Christ is not your mind. We like to think our thoughts are God. We like to think our thoughts are the mind of Christ. But our thoughts, our mind, our consciousness sometimes is not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is holy. It's righteous. It's clean. It does not have thoughts within it to be seen of men. It does not have thoughts of jealousy and envy and riotous and idolatry and sorcery and witchcraft and all of these things that work in the mind of the carnal mind or the mind of Satan. The mind of Christ is pure. And wasn't it Paul that said, whatsoever things are pure, holy? He said, think on these things. Do not think on those things that are without. And when you see the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, you see a staunch difference, do you not? What's the fruit of the Spirit, Julie? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Is that the mind of Christ? You better believe it. What's those works of the flesh? You ever get trapped in thoughts of adultery, lasciviousness, uncleanness, witchcraft, sorcery, all those things of rebellion and witchcraft and murder? You say, no, I've never thought of murder. I don't have murder working in me. Let me tell you how simple and how subtle the thought of Satan can be. When you sit at a table and you can sow discord against your brother, did you know the spirit of murder is working in you? Is this too hard? Too hard of preaching? Because I'm going to just tell you, this will make you clean. Now, I can't cleanse you. You know that, right, Tim? I cannot cleanse you, bro. And I'm talking to Tim physically. I could run you out here and baptize you in a tank of water. Nothing wrong with that. We can do that. If someone wanted to go be baptized in a tank of water, Darryl, you'd help me, wouldn't you? We'll baptize them in water. But is that going to change the things I'm talking about? I remember when I got baptized 3 times, by the way. I was a bad boy. I was really bad. And I thought since the first time didn't take, I'd try it again. And when the second time didn't do any better, I said, one more strike and I'm out. Third time. Nah, I ain't getting into charming stuff, Tim. Watch yourself there. I get baptized a third time in the name of Jesus. And I'm like, this is it, Brad. This is it. But my thoughts. Oh, it was a good 3 days. I was a good boy for about 3 days. Then I got lust and adultery working in my mind. And I'm not, listen to me, guys. Get out of this physical plane for a second, because I'm not talking about looking out here trying to find me some girl out here. That's not what I'm talking about. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a lust to leave the abiding place, to keep my mind in the thing that God is speaking to me, my first love. My first love is Jesus. You guys realize that? Above all, my first love is God. Always has been. I don't say that with arrogance. I'm telling you, my first love is the Lord, Darryl. But you know what the problem is? In that weaker thought, there's a lust that desires to go out and handle other things. And have you ever had a thought in you that thought you could do it? Well, I can be just like God. I can be just like my daddy. I can be just like him. Is that how Lucifer thought? It's not coming fast enough. Let me spend a little time here giving my own thought to this thing. I'll get this word of God figured out. Oh boy. Now we got doors opening up for unclean spirits to get a hold of us and defile the temple. Defile the man of God. If heaven is like unto a man and the man is defiled, what's wrong with that heaven? It's defiled. In other words, that spirit did not choose to abide in the holy place. He decided to go on his own, to begin taking thoughts, and to try to be like God. And before you know it, he's defiled himself with uncleanness. And you know what happens to that defilement? It defiles it all. It makes it all unclean. It makes that priest unclean, so he cannot perform his duties as a priest. It makes the true false. It makes a prophet a false prophet. It makes an apostle apostate. It makes the gospel, the one true living word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it makes it another gospel, which Paul said is not another gospel, but that which has been corrupted and perverted. Because I got news for you. There is only one God. You hear me? You can talk all you want about the God of this world right here that lived for a long time in prominence and power, but there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who's the Father of all. And the intent of God is to reach deep and to gather that young son of God and to raise him up and remind him who he is by taking him back to that beginning and show him where he did not keep in the holy place. He did not sanctify that word of God. He did not wait on God and stay in the abiding place. He left his first love. And when he did that, he opened doors for devils to come into power. I know this is not a typical Sunday morning, but look, the word of God in every one of us has an intent to perform very specific things. And each and every one of you have got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. In other words, I cannot save you. If you want to stay unclean, I'm going to let it stay unclean. But if you want that word of God, we'll sow that truth to you. We'll sow the truth. Didn't John say? We want you to be partakers of the things we have witnessed, the things we have seen. So what? So that your joy might be full? So you can be made partakers of that? Is that not what Jesus did for these guys right here? And all those women too that were with him. On the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up, how many were with him in that upper room, in that abiding place? What did Jesus send them to do? Did he not say, go and tarry at Jerusalem? Until what? Until you're endued with power from on high. So there's an abiding place. There's a holy place. A place where God's Spirit talks to you and shows you the true of heaven, the light of his fellowship. And it begins to regenerate as it works down into that apostle, and that apostle preaches his gospel to you. It regenerates the way you think. You know what it really does? Can I just tell you what it does? So simple. It draws you. Listen, if in Revelation 12 it was the tale of the dragon, which is the false prophet and all his lies, if it was the lie that drew you out, what is it that's going to draw you back? The truth. So do not be afraid of the truth. What else we got here? Man, it's hot up here. It's what I get for wearing a long sleeve shirt. Listen to this. This is, to me, man, this is beautiful right here. Abide in me. Is that not so simple? Jesus saying, what if the Lord visits you? How would he visit you, Tim? Is he going to walk through that door right there? Nope, not going to happen. Hope you guys aren't waiting for that. Not going to happen. How is he going to visit you? Will he appear to you? How did he appear to Saul on the way to Damascus? Did he appear to him in a vision? What happened to him from that day forward? Was he changed? Woo, man. What did God do for what we now know as Paul for the next several years after that appearing? What did he do? Did he take him somewhere in Arabia? Did he teach him how to access the abiding place? Is that what he taught him? Is that what he learned? He said he learned the revelation of Jesus Christ. How did he learn that? Because he didn't talk to any of the apostles. It was like 14 years later, if I have my scripture right. Like 14 years later before he even visited the apostles. Who taught him? He didn't walk with the Lord when he appeared to his disciples, Daryl. So how did he learn this? How did Paul get the revelation of Jesus Christ without a man? There you go. By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost appeared to him in the person of Jesus Christ. And what's the Holy Ghost do? Walked him right through. Ananias said, I can't do the thing you've asked of me. Do you not know who this man is? He's the guy that's persecuting your church. He's murdering them. I can't baptize this guy. I can't lay hands on him. You do what I say, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show Paul. I'm going to show him all these things. I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer for my namesake. Why do you think he said that? There's a lot in what Jesus said there. Jesus was saying, I'm going to take the most unclean thing you've ever seen, and I'm going to show him the truth. I'm going to show him my way. And before you know it, this guy right here named Paul is going to be the greatest apostle among you guys. He's going to walk into depths of darkness none of you have. He's going to go into the thought of the unclean with the brightness of God's truth. And he's going to make the thing that's unclean clean, because he can. Because I'm going to tell you, he that is forgiven much loveth much. Did you hear what I said? When you are forgiven much, you love much. When God humbles you and shows you that only by his grace are you here where you're at in God right now. When you've got curses and lies and false prophecy and apostasy working in you that was sown into you by others that were not sent of God. You hear what I said? Sown into you by others that were not sent of God. And it got you. The tail of it got you. Because your lust to be like God was great. And that tail did not struggle in its attempt to seduce you. It got you pretty quickly, actually. And it draws you away quicker than you think. You don't even know what's got you till it's too late. And you're in death. You're pinned to the earth. You're in captivity. Remember that dream? Where's Keith at? You remember that dream, Keith? It happened so fast, bro, you don't even know. Until what? Until the truth comes. That's a man of God has to come. That's when you see those heavens open and this man descends unto you with the love and grace of God in his very countenance. And in a moment takes you out of that captivity, walks you right out. And what's he start doing to you for the next several years? Even in this life, it translates into years. It's been a few years. Doesn't take 30 years, Daryl. But what's 2 to 3 years following those who have witnessed in this life? What is that? Nothing, man. I'm telling you right now, it's nothing. In 2 to 3 years, Brad, to go from captivity to understanding the revelation of Jesus Christ that has begun to work in you to bring you into apostleship is a wonderful thing. It's a work of grace. It's awesome. When Peter on the day of Pentecost was filled with the Holy Ghost, was it over or did it just begin? I used to think that was it. He got the Holy Ghost. That's it. He understands all things. He knows all things. He's full of God. There's nothing else God can show him. I actually used to think that way. Ask me what I think now. Actually, ask me what I know now. That was his beginning. First 120, then 3,000 in that first day, then shortly after another 5,000. And then comes Paul. Now Paul's on the scene. Now how many are going to be added? Because now we're not just talking Jew, we're talking Gentile now. We're talking unclean. Now we're going to get the unclean. Because see, the intent of God, he wants it all. Abide in me and I in you. Did you read that second part? Man. Go ask Dan, go ask Rick, go ask Brian, go ask these guys, Keith, and all these. Ask what it is to abide in Christ, but don't leave off the second part. Ask what it's like to have Christ in you. You know what happens when Christ is in you? All that are in Christ are in you. So you know what that means? I'm going to put something real short out there. I was in some prayer meditation yesterday, and God started talking to me about the tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost and my experience in Peter. And there were obviously some things that I had not understood in that. And God begins to talk to me about them tongues, and just in simplicity, he began to show me that every one of those tongues is a story and parable of God within itself, meaning that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, the apostles, all of them, they're all tongues, Daryl. And you know what the will of God is for me? To know them all. Intimately. I have to be for that to take place. I have to be in that abiding place, bro. So when Abraham visits me, and he takes me and shows me the prophecy that God spoke to him. And he shows me the stars and he shows me the sands. And he says, this is the word that God spoke to me. And it's a word God has spoke to you. Because he didn't have to tell me. I already knew. Because he's in me. He's alive and in me. So what does his prophecy become? My prophecy? Is it the will of God for me? I'm talking about the word of God. Not Gary Ellis. Gary Ellis ain't going to see that. I'm not going to be around for that. But guess what is going to be around for that? The Word of God. The Holy Ghost in me. We're going to be partakers of everything God has said. Listen, guys. This is so simple. Only the thing that is without, that thing of darkness, has complicated it. All you got to do is what I just read in the top of that scripture right there. Abide in me and I in you. Who does the work? Who does the rest of it? Does God do the rest of it? So when he said to those boys, follow me. Come on, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. What was required of them, Daryl? To follow. Man, how simple is that? And did they? Did they follow? But they stumbled too along the way, didn't they? Even one time, Peter had Satan working in his thoughts and tried to forbid the Lord to go to Jerusalem and die. And Jesus turned around and said, Satan, Satan, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Woo, what a life-giving word of rebuke. that was part of what saved Peter, Tim. Being able to hear that And no, he didn't come to it right away. But guess what he did begin to see on that day of Pentecost when those tongues came forth? Oh yeah, man, they're going to start talking to you now. They're going to start telling you the story. They're going to visit you with the intimacies of God, and you want to stay in that place. God showed me a few years back, it's within you. Go deep. Go deep within you. Let God show this. Let him show it all to you. And even still, every now and then, you get caught up, don't you, Daryl, with thoughts that are without. Spirit of God has to bring you back. You got to stay in that abiding place. Is there anything else here? Because I've said pretty much what I want to say for right now. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Just a little bit longer, because there's something that he says here. There it is, right there. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, listen to what I'm saying and I'm done. Without me, you can do nothing. That's Jesus talking. He's telling you, without me, you cannot make this trip. You abide in me, though. And I abide in you. What did John say again about the anointing? It'll lead you, guide you, teach you, lead you into all truth. And you'll have no need that man teach you. That man is the man of sin. That man of sin won't be your teacher anymore. Satan won't be your teacher. The carnal mind won't be your teacher. Who will be your teachers? Who'll be your fathers? Who will be your instructors? Who will be your prophets? Will it not be those in Christ? So the will of God is dig deep, go into that abiding place. Let the Spirit of God keep you in that place where the purity of God's mind, that consciousness of the Lord is ever present. And I got to do things here, and sometimes you just can't. You got to come back here and do the dishes, and you got to take the car to the car wash. You got to go to work. Someone asked us here recently about the whole working thing, because Dan uses that example a lot and has mentioned me a couple times about running this big business. And, you know, you're always in the mind of God. Guys, that's been misunderstood. Sometimes when your boss calls you, you're not thinking about Revelation 12. What are you thinking about? Getting an earful that the business is not making enough money. What you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to put a special pair of boots on, and I'm going to get some things in order. But in my spirit, what is always there, Daryl? That abiding place, bro. Christ is always there. And you can go to it, you can think in it, you can meditate, you can act in it, you can partake in it. Because we're talking spiritual things, not physical things. So in my spirit, you can be in that abiding place, and that Spirit of Jesus Christ be in you, and in a moment show you something, tell you something, speak something to you, or you get a visitation. And what does it do to you? It increases Christ in you. It enlarges Christ in you, all to the glory of God.